And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
And I'm Robert Green, making my debut.
That's right.
On this show.
I realized when Dan was out this week that we actually haven't ever had you on the show, which seems criminal because you're obviously a very well-known personality on Channel 9. So
well,
welcome.
Getting to this point has been difficult. My agent talked to the Channel 9 folks, and you know, it came down to the usual issues: artistic control and money.
Absolutely, and those green M&Ms in your dressing room.
Exactly.
So our top story here is we have declared the Windows 8.1 RTM.
That's right. Windows 8.1 has released to manufacturing. It is released to the manufacturers, and we're expecting a tremendous crop of machines coming out this fall. And so that's very exciting. October 18th is general availability.
That's right. So currently they are burning a stack of 3.5-inch floppies to hand off to our OEM partners so
that's
they
right.
can put that into their manufacturing channel. And everybody, of course, very excited for general availability. In the meantime, of course, as a developer, here's what you should be doing.
You should get yourself the 8.1 preview and the Visual Studio 2013 preview mm-hmm. and continue building or start building apps, as the case may be.
That's right.
It's the best way to figure out what's new. It's not a tremendous jump in terms of what you need to know. There are obviously some new things, new enhancements, but it's not wildly different from 8. So get the preview bits, start building your apps, start updating your apps from 8 to 8.1, and be ready when it's ready.
So I don't want to break you into disclosure jail if there's things that haven't been publicly disclosed. But do you anticipate what the leap will be from the preview bits to RTM in terms of developer code readiness?
I think there will be some things, but I think it won't be that great.
Okay, fairly minimal.
That's what my sources tell me.
And if I have a Windows 8 app today, a Windows Store application, will that continue to run on 8.1?
Yes, it will.
It will. Okay,
yep.
So it's just a recompile story, which is great. Next up, we have the Visual Studio Unit Test Generator V1. Now, we talked about this on the show, almost a year ago, I want to say, because the Visual Studio Rangers were actually gathering requirements from the community at the time because they were starting to build this thing. And if you remember back in Visual Studio 2010, we had the ability to right-click your method and generate a unit test. Now, when they moved over to the new extensible unit testing framework in Visual Studio 2012, we lost that capability in the product. So the Rangers, being good kind of gap fillers as they mm-hmm. usually are, identified this as an opportunity that they can go out and seize. And they're not saying that they've brought back 100% of what used to be in Visual Studio 2010, but what I do like about this is that when you generate your unit tests from your application code, you have the choice of whether or not you want to generate those in the traditional, what people call MS test or Visual Studio unit testing framework, or you can use XUnit or InUnit. So that's actually a net new capability you didn't have before.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very
so
cool.
I'm going to be doing an interview later with Josh about the actual going deeper into the product and taking a look at that. So look for that coming on Channel 9.
Cool. We announced some major enhancements to Windows Azure, the general availability of SQL Server Always On support, notification hubs, autoscale improvements, etc.
Okay.
So SQL Server Always On gives you high availability and reliability, gives you the ability to do multiple replicas, backups of your secondary replicas, a whole bunch of stuff to make sure that your SQL Server is always there.
Mm-hmm.
The notification hubs, we've had notifications, obviously, the push notifications, but the notification hubs gives you an infrastructure for doing scalable notifications cross-platform out to millions of users. So if you have millions of users on your app, then you can use the notification hubs to send them information. So it's very, very powerful. Obviously, Azure has the ability to scale and automatically, and that's one of the benefits of moving to the cloud. But we now have the ability to configure that and write rules and have scheduling. So you could have different rules for how you scale at night versus mm-hmm. weekends versus middle of the day.
Or based on traffic, I would imagine,
yep. mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Okay.
It's now easier to configure virtual machine load balancing,
mm-hmm.
and we've now made it easier to find the operation logs and alerts. So instead of having to dig through the portal for those, there's a management services section, and that's where you find them.
That's great.
So
that's a lot of stuff.
Cool enhancements.
Excellent. Next up, I think, Robert, you have the distinction of being the first This Week on Channel 9 co-host to bring visuals with you.
I do want to be brought back.
Yes. So let's break out the visuals. The first we have, this is the, what are we looking at here?
This is the infographic? One of the Windows Azure infographics.
Okay, you need to move it over here.
It is a technical poster suitable for framing.
Mm-hmm.
You can collect the series, trade with your friends, collect them all. And this one is cloud services. So this one tells you what you need to know at a glance about cloud services.
And how do you actually get the poster that you're holding in your hands? Do you have to print this? Can you request a copy?
That is an excellent question.
It says download or print, so I'm assuming this is kind of a do-it-yourself kind of thing.
This was dropped off in my office by one of the guys on the Azure team.
Okay, so if you know a guy on the Azure team, yeah, they will drop it by your office.
I'm sure we'll have
if
them
not,
at conferences. You can, of course, download them.
Yes, and so I'm not quite sure what the difference between an infographic and a poster is, but this next one that you're looking at here is the .NET Universe.
This is the .NET Universe poster,
yep,
which will also be available in giant size,
yep,
at some point. This is essentially a prototype. This is what you can download now.
Okay.
And it shows the .NET classes based by category, broken up by application, by package, tells you what's supported, what you get from NuGet, what's open source. So we've got cloud apps, services, Windows Store apps, phone apps, desktop apps, data access, including link to Hive.
Oh.
And made it onto this poster.
Wow.
So that's a pop quiz for the viewers. What is link to Hive?
I don't know the answer to that.
First person to
post it in the comments?
First person to post in the comments will.
You'll mail them a poster?
Something. I will mail them a signed copy of the .NET Universe poster.
There you go. That's awesome. These are really cool. I wish we had these when I was a kid. I wouldn't have had the Cindy Crawford and Ninja Turtles on my bedroom wall. I would have had these instead. But, you know. Next up, we have Todd Bricks announcing that this summer break promo that they had for the Windows Phone Dev Center has been, this is extended, right?
Extended, yes.
So it was continues to be, used to be $99 for the summer, they had $19, and they say that they're going to extend that because it's been going really, really well. So never been a better time to jump in as a Windows Phone developer. So that's great. And if you are an application developer, whether you're publishing to Windows Store or to Windows Phone Marketplace, this is a nice checklist that the Windows Store team put together that talks
about... Nick Tro, who's a technical evangelist in Belgium. Microsoft
and then he actually links back to an official Microsoft Windows Phone Store. Anyway, it's the ultimate checklist to promote your app. And we've covered these types of checklists before. But this one actually, I think, is kind of the best I've seen so far. Talks about different places that you could list your application for free, other ways to kind of get it out there and make sure that people know about these great apps that you build, and also some tips on how to go about, you know, identifying good applications to go build as well. And NuGet 2.7 is released. You know, we run across these stories a lot because NuGet, you know, they're obviously continuously delivery, pushing out there, and we don't always cover these NuGet updates. But this one we thought was particularly interesting and good to know about because.
I think for me the primary new feature in it is the automatic package restore in solution. So I want to send you a solution, but I don't want to send you the 57 megabytes worth of packages.
Mm-hmm.
So I send you the solution, you load it up. Of course, it doesn't build because you don't have any of the packages.
That's right.
You can right-click on the solution and enable restore, and then on build, the packages will be downloaded. But why do you have to take that extra step?
Right.
So now with NuGet 2.7, that happens automatically.
By
you
default.
Open up the project, you build it, the stuff comes down.
So you won't see that option anymore. So if you're used to right-clicking and saying, you know, enable, now this is just automatic. So that's good to know about.
I assume you can still turn it off.
I don't know.
I think
we'll have to find out. That's an exercise for the viewers. So Peter Provost, friend of the show, friend of ours, great guy, Agilista, I like to call him. I think he calls himself that. He was on Radio TFS this past week, and he was talking about some of the features and capabilities that his team works on. And Peter always, you know, he's always a really interesting guy. He tells great stories around why we're doing certain things and how his team and how he envisions customers are going to use these capabilities. And this was just a great show. I think you should check it out. out to learn more about how they envision CodeLens. If you're not familiar with CodeLens, we like to talk about that as providing situational awareness for the developer. So, you know, if you're a fighter pilot, you have this heads-up display that tells you kind of, you know, where all the things are that are happening kind of outside of your peripheral vision, and is there if you need it. And CodeLens really delivers that for people that are using Visual Studio 2013.
You chance to see what code that's being referenced or the contents of a method without having to leave the context, go over there, come back. It's great stuff.
Definitely. Yeah. So I see a flying school bus here. What is this story all about?
So Unity is a game development engine. Mm-hmm. It's multi-platform. We've done a huge amount of work with the Unity guys to get it on Windows 8 and Windows Phone. And so this is a tutorial written by Petri Wilhelmsen in Norway. And it's a really good tutorial. It's very, very in-depth. It's how to get started with Unity building an app for Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. It runs on multiple platforms as well as ones that we don't make. But this is particularly focused on Windows 8 and Phone 8. And it's at least three parts now. There might even be more parts by now. But it starts from File, New Project, and shows you how to build a game on Unity.
That's great.
Very cool.
Yeah, it definitely does look like a good series. This next one is an article. Actually, it's a CodePlex project that allows you to basically host a photo of the day, if you will, or stream a photo from any given RSS feed directly within your Visual Studio environment. So this is just a nice example of how to extend the Visual Studio 2012 start page.
By default, it uses the Bing picture of the day, but you could create your own RSS feed. So, I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't tell you the number of times I've fired up Visual Studio and I want to see the Miley Cyrus twerking picture of the
day
before I dive into code to kind of set the context.
It gets you in the mood.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. So now that is possible. This is a great article by Jason Roberts reminding us of an attribute that exists for your .NET code that allows you to basically give yourself, throw yourself a bone, if you will, when it comes to actually debugging a particular class or other sets of objects. So he gives an example of how you can override the debugger visualization that you get for a person object so that it's a little bit more English friendly. So just a really nice thing that you can do to make debugging easier down the road. You know, I always hate when I mouse over and you've got this like really long, you know, display of this value doesn't equal that value, so there's been some kind of an exception. Well, it's always good if you can make that a little bit more English ready, especially if you're shipping classes to other people that might be consuming them and they're not always familiar with the layout of your code.
So this is an article written by Reed Kimball. It's on the TechNet, part of the TechNet wiki, on how to handle a huge collection of strings in Visual Basic. And basically the idea is you have strings, you want to be able to add, you want to be able to remove, you want to be able to search. How do you handle large amounts of strings, large collection of strings? So it's a very good technical article. And the interesting thing about this is that this is the winner in the VB category of the TechNet Guru competition for July.
Oh.
So TechNet has this contest, a monthly contest on the TechNet wiki across a number of categories where you can write articles and submit them and get them published on TechNet and win fame and fortune.
Oh, wow.
Or at least fame.
Yeah. Congratulations. That's great.
Yeah.
Good job, Reed. I wonder if he talks about my favorite method, string builder. So string builder, it's a if you're gonna create a string, they're immutable, right? And
there
so every time you change them, that actually costs more than if you were to use string builder. I remember hearing about that on VBTV from our friend Ari Bixhorn years ago. So that brings us to picks of the week. So my pick of the week, this is a Windows phone that was actually dropped into a zoo exhibit in Finland, and it just goes to show you that the Windows phones are so easy to use that this monkey actually picked it up and started monkeying around with it, if you will.
So a recent survey of Finnish monkeys in zoos show overwhelmingly that they prefer Windows phones.
Yes, one out of one monkeys picked
Absolutely.
Windows phones.
Absolutely, all of them.
Yes, exactly. So that's really cool. I don't know what else to say about that.
So take that competition, beat that.
Absolutely, we've cornered that market. And this is your very first pick of the week, and what is it?
It's Mike Talty, who's a technical evangelist in England, a good friend, and this is... he took Visual Studio 2013 preview and Windows 8.1 preview and decided to take a look at the project templates as a way of learning what's new in 8.1. So a great place to start is you go and you create a blank project or a grid project or whatever. This is all in XAML.
Yep.
And you look at the new hub template as well, and then you actually look at the code and you learn things about, you know, how do the mechanics change, how saving and restoring state has changed, look to see how app bars are done now. So it's a great way of learning some of the things that are new in 8.1, and particularly XAML.
And he talks about coded UI testing projects, which are now possible for Windows Store apps as well, which is very cool.
Yeah.
Well, Robert, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
I think you've earned an invite back in the future.
I'd love to come back.
So we will see you next week.
Thanks.